You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30pm with Gordon Brown, Rory DeLaghi and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's National Hunt Racing from Ludlow and Wincanton domestically. The card at Wincanton includes the Somerset National Handicap Chase. There's also all-weather racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell, all-weather action in the evening as well from Chelmsford City, and a good card over in Ireland from Gorham Park featuring the Galmoy Hurdle and the Thyestes. My name is Mark Walton. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to that action is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. I'm absolutely fantastic. The sun is shining. There's not a cloud in the sky. Just gives you that little bit of a feel-good factor, doesn't it?
It does.
After all the rain and the grey and the dank, it's good to have a bit of sun on the back.
It is, yeah. Rain, frost, snow, now a bit of sunshine.
Yeah.
And we've got good racing again this weekend. We've had a couple of quiet weeks, and it's all looking rosy all of a sudden, Pimmy.
It is, yes. I mean, that old Cheltenham festal fever is just starting to get mounted up, isn't it? Everybody's got Cheltenham on the back of their minds. And again, this weekend could be very, very informative regarding the Cheltenham picture, that is for sure.
Yes, certainly could. And we'll start with a look at the Champion Hurdle, actually, as it stands at the moment, because there's the Irish Champion Hurdle in Ireland, which could have a massive...
Which is the Irish Champion Hurdle in Ireland?
Yeah.
That's a new one. How does that work?
Yeah, thanks for that, Pimmy.
Well, I just thought I'd just keep you on the toes, because the powers that be could be listening to this. Our jobs could depend on this podcast. You know what I'm saying?
I'll rephrase it then. We've got the Irish Champion Hurdle in Leopardstown this weekend.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Where's that, in Ireland?
It is, it's in Ireland, yeah. And we've also got a few new stories surrounding some of the British hopes. It looks dominated by the Irish runners at the moment, which come from Ireland. But Nicky Anderson's talking up the chances of his two runners, Peace and Co and My Tent or Yours. Peace and Co lost his unbeaten record earlier on in the season, his only run of the season. So he's on a little bit of a rebuilding mission. And we haven't seen My Tent or Yours for quite some time now, Pimmy, but the noise is quite positive from the Henderson camp.
Which I often take with a pinch of salt, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Again, I can see where they're coming from with Peace and Co. You know, what happened at Cheltenham last time out, everything... what could go wrong did go wrong. You've got to forgive him that run and put a line through it and start again this weekend. So, you know, prior to that, his form was rock solid. He's a decent horse. Whether he's capable of playing with the big boys in the Champion Hurdle, I'm not quite so sure, to be perfectly honest. And again, My Tent to Yours, been off a long time. So we'll just watch this space with him. I mean, to be perfectly honest, the Mullins stranglehold on the Champion Hurdle looks stronger than ever, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And to be honest, you'd be very surprised if one of his three don't land the spoils, to be fair. And you wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't have 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. He did last year.
That's right. So, you know, I think our chances of winning the Champion Hurdle are very slim, to say the least.
Yeah. I just wonder, Pimmy, if My Tent are Yours, if you're looking to get involved, he's just a little bit too big at 25-1. He's obviously got that bit of class. He's run well in the race in the past. He was always a little bit too free. And if he's still got that ability, and I just wonder now he's a little bit older, maybe he'll settle down a little bit. And obviously, if he comes back and makes an impressive return, then he's not going to be 25-1, I don't
know. No, he's not. But 25-1, to be fair, is a price that reflects his chance at this moment in time. You know, long absence, didn't quite get to the top tier, did he? I think 25's a realistic price. But if you do feel that he can bounce back and come good, more than likely in the Kingwell Hurdle, then, yeah, you might just want to have a little nibble and nabble at 25s.
Yeah. I feel that the biggest clue could come from Leopardstown on Sunday, though, Pimmy. The Irish Champion Hurdle. Willie Mullins has the front three from the Champion Hurdle in this version, the Irish Champion Hurdle, in the betting anyway. Fahin, 4-11. Nichols Canyon, 100-30. Arctic Fire, 6-1. 100-1 for Plinth. King of the Pixies, 200-1. Good to see that he's running them all against each other.
I think he's a great absolutely fantastic that he's doing it. I suppose when you think about it, though, his hands will be tied and where he can run them, to be honest. There won't be that many opportunities for them. And again, you know, big prize on offer. So what do you do? There's no point wrapping them up in cotton wool waiting for the Cheltenham champion hurdle. We may as well have a go there as well. And I think it's very sporting of both Mullins and his owners that they're gonna have a crack, you know. And again, the whole picture of the champion hurdle could well change on Sunday if we have a little upset. But I think Fahin will win. Yeah. I mean, and as his price indicates, it's, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work that one out.
Yeah, it'd be interesting how they change the tactics, I think, on Sunday, because Nicholas Kenny beat Fahin earlier on in the season, and it was put largely down to the fact that Nicholas Kenny got first run on Fahin, and Fahin usually likes to bowl along in front.
Yeah.
So I imagine he'll be much more prominent this time round.
Yeah, and again, more than likely, they just didn't quite have enough respect for the horse.
Yeah.
You know, thinking, well, actually, you know, we've seen them work together at home, and whatever work they do, Fahin will come out on tops, you know, head and shoulders. So they might just not respected him a little bit on that day, and maybe thought, well, actually, you know, Fahin is the machine, nothing will beat him. And it might not have done them any harm regarding they'll think a little bit more positive and not quite take it for granted that he is the best.
Yeah.
Right. It might be the way they're thinking. I mean, I don't know, but that's how I'd see it, that actually, you know, we have some serious understudies here to Fahin. And we, you know, we take them serious as well.
Yeah. We've also got a few more Cheltenham Festival clues on the weekend on the domestic front as well, with the Clarence House Chase at Ascot. Undersaw taking on Side of Grugy there. It's 8-11 for Undersaw, 7-4 Side of Grugy. Felix Younger is 8-1, 10s for Vibrato Valtat, 12-1 for Simply Ned, 14s Traffic Fluid, and 25-1 for Captain Conan. Undersaw fell last time. It's a little bit of a recovery mission for him, but the fact that he's taking on a previous winner of the Champion Chase as well in the shape of Side of Grugy, we should learn a little bit there as well, shouldn't we?
Oh yeah, I mean, this is a fantastic race, brilliant race, to be fair. Good prize on offer, as you'd imagine, as well. I was down the track at Cheltenham last year when Undersow won the Arkle in such impressive fashion, and going up to the second last and the last first time round, he was tanking, and I thought, this fellow might just be going a little bit too free and a bit too keen for his own good here. And yet he was like a cat. And going down to the last, oh, he met it on some stride and winged it. Because he's not the biggest horse in the world, you know, Undersow.
No.
But he absolutely flew. And on that day, he was electric, his jumping. If he was long, he was long. If he was short, he got in tight. And again, that was a little bit of a setback last time out. But I think just watching the way the horse ran, that will have actually just given him a little wake-up call.
Yeah.
And he'll think to himself, well, actually, can't just be as blasé as I was last time out. He's definitely the class act in the race. And, you know, although Side of Grugy, as you say, has won a Queen Mother Champion two-mile chase in the past, I thought he ran well enough in defeat behind Sprinter Sacra last time out. I didn't think we saw the Sprinter Sacra at his very best on that occasion either. But, again, Side of Grugy still ran well in defeat. He's 10 now, the other fella's 8. And that could be the difference. We've got one coming on the Uckwood curve.
Yeah.
And Side of Grugy at 10 just might be plateauing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I've used that word plateauing just in case the powers that be like that type of word.
Yeah, it's the biggest word I've ever heard you use, I think.
It is for sure the biggest word I've ever used. I don't actually know what it means, but I just thought it sounded quite good.
Yeah, well, you got it in the right context anyway. So.
Did it really?
Yeah, I think
Well, marvellous. Oh, job's kept then for another month.
We're safe for another month.
Exactly. I don't know about you. Hey, don't you tar me with your brush.
I better come up with some big words myself.
You had indeed, yeah. Like the Irish champion hurdle in Ireland. Yeah, we'll have that.
Yeah.
That's really going to help.
Doing myself
course.
Loads of favours here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting, Vibrato Valtat's also in the Clarence House at the weekend. Paul Nichols, though, saying that he's likely to step up in trip for the Cheltenham Festival and go Ryanair, saying that he's crying out for a step up in trip now. So you imagine this is just going to be
a prep.
Get a race into him.
Yeah, you'd think so. And again, at a certain stage in these horses' seasons, they need to get a run into them because they get to a fever pitch that they're saying, well, hang on a minute, I'm here, I'm fit, I'm ready to rock and roll, and there's nowhere to go.
Mm.
So they need to just get a run into them as a stepping stone and just something to keep them sane, really, because, you know, they've got them ready to run and then sometimes there's nowhere to go because of the weather or whatever. So, yeah, I can see that definitely being a stepping stone for Vibrato Valtat. And, again, I think what Paul Nichols is saying about the horse, he's dead right. He does need to be seen to a better advantage over a bit further.
Yeah. One more bit of news as well, just to touch on before we get stuck into Thursday's action. Willie Mullins is also going to send Vroom Vroom Mag to Ascot this weekend. She's going to run in the Mayor's Hurdle there, and it'll give them an idea of what to run in at the festival, whether it be World Hurdle or Mayor's Hurdle at the festival. So we should learn a little bit about her as well.
Yeah, again, I mean, she's very impressive, obviously. You'd think of the two options, the Mayor Hurdle is going to be the easier option for her at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
But by the same token, the World Hurdle just looks a little bit messy at the minute.
Yeah.
So, you know, there could be a bigger cherry to sort of take a bite of there.
Yeah, plus if Annie Power's fit and she goes Mayor's Hurdle route, then the World Hurdle would be Vroom Vroom Mag's target.
Yeah, or vice versa. Yeah. What a nice position it must be to be in.
He's got an unbelievable amount of strength and depth, hasn't he?
Unbelievable. I mean, you wonder how he sleeps at night, but I think he sleeps at night simply because if one falls by the wayside, he's got another one waiting in the wings. You know, it's a wonderful position to be in.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know which one to run in which race.
Yeah, well, we'll run all three. Yeah. All three in the championship. Oh, well, we are first, second and third in the betting, so why not?
It's frightening. He got 8 winners at the Cheltenham Festival last year, which was a record. He's got a stronger team again this year.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
There was a question earlier on in the week, actually, Pimmy. Willie Mullins' domination of the anti-post markets for the Cheltenham Festival, does it excite you or does it bore you? Which way of the fence would you fall on there?
It certainly doesn't bore me.
No.
Because, you know, what he's bringing to the racecourse is absolutely top-class animals, and that's what racing's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Certainly when it comes to the Cheltenham Festival, the Aintree Festival, the Punchestown Festival, we want to see the best. And he's bringing them to the table for us. Fair play. I could never see it boring, to be fair.
No, I would agree with you there. I mean,
again, I must say, it must be difficult for the trainers in Ireland to cope with it on a daily basis. But by the same token, Willie Mullins is such a great guy that I don't think anybody begrudges him it.
No, he is a gentleman, isn't he?
Anybody you speak to would say what a lovely guy he is.
Mm.
So I think because of his personality, because of his demeanour, it's not actually frowned upon.
Yeah.
Whereas it possibly over here, if it was one or two of the trainers, it might be.
Yeah, we won't name any names.
No, say no names.
And let's leave that there. Let's move on to Thursday's action. Pimmy's got 4 races for us. We're going to look at 2 races at Goran Park on a very good card there. We're going to look at the Somerset National and one at Chelmsford City as well. So we'll get Pimmy's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll spin through these in time order. So we start at...
Yeah, can we just go back 1 second there, Mark? Yeah. I thought that link in between there was one of the best voiceovers I've ever heard.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Yeah. It wouldn't have anything to do with the voiceover guy there that might be doing your rotor from now on.
Could be.
Yeah.
Very good. Lovely tone.
You've got something on your nose there, Pimmy. The 2 o'clock at Goran Park is where we start. This one is the Galmoy Hurdle, a grade 2, over 3 miles. It's got 5 of them in the lineup here. A bit of a tricky race, this, Pimmy, in respect that nothing comes here in flying form, but there's nice horses in there nonetheless.
Yeah, it's a good race, but it's a tricky race because, like you quite rightly said, nothing comes into it in flying form. Well, admittedly, Noble Emperor won last time out, but on official ratings, he has got a little bit to find. And again, he's stepping up into 3 miles tomorrow, which may well suit him. But, you know, on all known form, he's got a little bit to do. I mean, at Fisher's Cross, if you take his form of the World Hurdle last year behind Cole Harmon, when he was beaten just 6 3/4 lengths, that was quite a good run, to be fair, because he hadn't been firing early part of the season. It's a long time since we've actually last seen him win. I think we have to go back to about 2013 for that. 315-day absence. Rebecca Curtis's horses are okay at the moment. They're running better than they were sort of November, early December. I'm not so sure. I know he's had his issues at Fisher's Cross. I'm not so sure that he's entirely in love with the game. I prefer to take him on rather than side with him tomorrow, to be honest. But what do I side with? I'd more than likely have to go Alpha Dezobo. But again, you'd say to me then, well, hang on a minute, Pimmers. The last 3 times, he hasn't managed to get his head in front.
Yeah, but look at the race he's been running in.
Exactly. But he's been running in top-class 3-mile events, and that's the important thing. And I think although he has been getting beaten, he's more than likely been beaten fair and square and just, unfortunately, bumping into one that's a bit better than him. Tomorrow, for me, it's his golden opportunity to become the bride and not the bridesmaid.
Yeah, just looking through his previous form. Leopardstown over 3 miles in the Christmas Hurdle, which is a Grade One. He finished behind Prince of Scars. Time before that, he finished behind Arctic Fire in the Hatton's Grace, which is a Grade One at Fairy House. Yeah. Time before that, Grade One Irish Champion Novice Hurdle. He finished behind Nichols Canyon, which is good form. And even if you look back to last year, he finished behind Duvan in the Moscow Flyer. He finished behind Black Hercules, and we've seen what he's done this year in Stayers Novice Hurdle there. His form is very good.
It's solid, and he's just been, unfortunately, he hasn't got there. But tomorrow is his opportunity.
Yeah.
He's got the cheap pieces on for the first time as well. I'll be disappointed if he doesn't get his head in front tomorrow.
Yeah. Alfred Ezobo, then the selection for Pimmy in the Galmoy Hurdle. Moving to Wincanton next for their 2:45. This is the Somerset National Handicap Chase. So 3¼ miles. It's the extended 3¼ miles as well. And we've got a field of 14 here, Pimmy, including last year's winner, Munkety Tunkety, returning for another go.
Yeah, old Munkety Tunkety, 13 now. He won the race off a mark of 124 last year, £6 higher than what he was. Alice Mills gets a great tune out of this horse. They've got a great relationship. Certainly, you know, you wouldn't be put off by Alice riding. She won on him last year as well. And again, I thought he ran well enough last time out at Southall, because 3 miles round there would not be his bag. You know what I mean? He definitely needs a test of stamina. He loved the heavy ground as well. And again, despite being £6 higher, I definitely think he's a player tomorrow afternoon. But it's a wide open race, isn't it? I suppose the other one that you might just find interesting is the Venetia Williams running, Rocky Bender, who came good last time out. Again, this triple suit him, 3 mile free. And again, she's got her horses in great form at the moment. At this time of recording, we haven't got a jockey down for Rocky Bender. Obviously, Aidan Coleman sides with Royal Palladium again for the Venetia Williams Yard. Slightly disappointed last time out, Royal Palladium, when pulled up at Foss Last, but nothing surprises you about Foss Last, does it? You know what I mean? That ground can get so heavy and so testing that that form never travels. And if you forget that run, prior to that, he'd ran well enough in defeat when finishing fifth. So, again, wouldn't rule out the Venetia other runner as well, Royal Palladium. But if I had to have a few quid on, it would be Rocky Bender and hoping for a big, big run from Munkety.
OK, good stuff. Moving on to the third race we'll look at, which is the 3:10 at Goran Park, the Thyestes Handicap Chase, a Grade A contest over 3 miles and 1 furlong. Good list of previous winners in this race, Pimmy, including Jack Adam, who went on to finish second in the Gold Cup on the back of winning this last season. Willie Mullins has a good record. He's won it a couple of times with On His Own as well. And he has the market leader here in the shape of Bally Casey on the price that I've got in front of me. 6-1 for Bally Casey. Folsom Blue, 8-1. Marlow Beach, 8-1 as well, as is Uccello Conti. 9-1 for Rule the World. The Job Is Right is 10s. 12-1 for Eunuch de Bercy. And 14s or bigger for the others. Is it going to be another big prize for Willie Mullins?
Well, very, very competitive race, as you can imagine. As you say, Willie Mullins got a fantastic strike rate in this race. Ruby takes them out on Bally Casey. I think that tells its own story, that obviously he's the chosen one of the Mullins four. And he's definitely comes there as a player. But, you know, Boston Bob in his own right is a very, very high-class horse. Maybe the handicapper with a mark of 156 has his measure in this type of race, you know what I mean? And that he might just be trying to climb a mountain too high for him off that mark, but he's certainly a high class individual. And again, although he hasn't been troubling the judge of late, he's been having a difficult task, to be fair. And again, I wouldn't rule him out with the burden of top weight. And then you look further down the field, I thought Folsom Blue was interesting with the pieces on for Mouse Morris and Brian Cooper. He ran well enough when finishing third last time out. And the other one I thought could be interesting was the Bonnie Kate, the Noel Mead runner. First, it's a first reserve. But if that got in, I think that could be interesting, actually, Bonnie Kate. So, again, another one that keep an eye on if there's one or two absentees. And, again, it's great that they've got these reserves, isn't it? So that they've maintained the field of 18, which is all good stuff. So, yeah, competitive. Poof, where your pin falls, to be fair, could be the solution to this one. But if you're going to nail me to one, I think I'm going to... Well, nail me to two. Bally Casey and also a little bit each way on Folsom Blue.
All right, a couple against the field then for Pimmy in the Thyestes Handicap Chase. The final race we look at is the 6:10 at Chelmsford City. This one is a Class 4 handicap over 1¼ miles. A field of 8 left in the lineup here because Bromyard is now a non-runner. Who would you side with in that?
Yeah, interesting that Bromyard's come out, because I would imagine he would have been the paper favourite, but that really opens the race up, to be perfectly honest. There's a couple in here that I like. I thought one Pecan could be interesting from the Varian yard. He ran well enough in defeat behind Elusive Guest, I thought, here last time out. Steps up to a mile and a quarter tomorrow night. Could well play to his game. And also, I think another one to keep an eye on is Art Scholar from the Appleby yard. Again, he ran just 43 days ago, this fella. He was fifth of 14 behind Trimulet at Kempton over a mile and three. Don't think the mile and two trip will be an issue. And again, Appleby and Mullen in a rich vein of form at the moment. But I'm going to look for value. I'm going to look for a northern trained runner. How often do we get northern trained runners travelling all the way to Chelmsford in the shape of Warfare? Now, this fella ran a cracking race last time out when he finished third at Lingfield. I thought he ran far better than his final placing suggested, and he was only beaten a length and a half behind Alator. Now, I know it's a while since he's won, but he's won off this mark of 80, and I think he could well perform to good effect tomorrow night. Tim Fitzgerald takes his horse all that way. Jim Crowley riding at the top of his game at the moment. And I think Warfare, who could well be a double-figure price, with the dead eight running, could be a bit of value each way.
I like it. A bit of value potentially then in the 6-10 at Chelmsford City. As usual, Pimmy, let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you'll spin us through your selections for Thursday one more time.
Yeah, it's obviously a tricky little foursome that you've got me to try and speculate on tomorrow, Mark. But who knows? If these four go in, my job could be saved. So starting off with the 2 o'clock at Gowran Park, I'm going to go with Alpha Desabo. Then we travel to Somerset for their national, where I'm hoping Munkety Tunkety will run a good race, and also hoping that the spoils can go to Rocky Bender there. And then in the Thaistes Chase, real tricky event, run at Gowran Park later on in the afternoon, I'm going to take a chance with Willie Mullins' horse, Ballycasey, and also Folsom Blue there in that competitive handicap chase. And finally, at 6:10 Chelmsford City, each way, Warfare.
Superb. Good work, Pimmy. Thank you very much. Good luck, and enjoy it on Thursday.
Look forward to it.
There you go. The thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30 PM with Gordon Brown, Rory DeLaghi and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's Ludlow and Wincanton over the obstacles domestically. The card at Wincanton includes the Somerset National, so good racing to look forward to there. There's all of the racing on the fibre sand at Southwell in the afternoon as well, and evening action on the poly track at Chelmsford City. And not forgetting Gowran Park over in Ireland. Two very good races to look forward to there. The Grade 2 Galmoy Hurdle and the Grade A Thaistes Chase. We'll squeeze those into the show as well. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.